Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and I am so excited to have you join me today for the second installment of my new segment, Friends on Faith on Friday. And today's interview is with a friend of mine from seminary, Pastor Christine Emerson. Christine is currently serving in Eau Claire, Wisconsin at St. John's Lutheran Church. She is the associate pastor at St. John's. She's actually currently on sabbatical, which means she has been given 3 months as she's been there for 6 years, and their sabbatical policy says that you get 3 months after serving for 6 years, so we'll talk a little bit about that. We actually spoke a little earlier in the week via Skype, and now I'm putting this because, you know, Friends on Faith on Friday, it should be on Friday, right? So that's why I'm posting it today, even though we spoke earlier in the week. A little bit about Christine. As I said, I met her and her husband, Jim, in seminary. We both went to Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley. She was a year ahead of me, and I'm not sure I would have necessarily survived that first semester without her and her husband, Jim, who both kind of took me under their wing. They used to invite me over to their apartment, and we would watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Angel together, which was one of the highlights of my week when we would hang out and have pizza and watch very silly television together. But it was one of the very high points of that semester, my first semester at seminary, and then we remained friends throughout. She is hilarious. She is talented. She's an amazing musician. She's got a beautiful voice. She's done voice lessons and piano lessons. And one of the things when I think about Christine and Jim is when I was apartment sitting for them once when they had gone out of town and I was feeding their fish while they were gone, and I went into their bedroom where the fish tank was, and on the back of their bedroom doorknob, they had the tassels from their graduations. And I kid you not, this wad of tassels was like 3 inches thick. It was this huge wad of tassels. They have more degrees between the two of them than any other couple that I know. I'm sure there are couples out there that have more degrees than these two, but they are very, very smart, and they have a lot of degree. They have a lot of education between them. I was very impressed by that wad of tassels, let me tell you. But Christine is, like I said, she's very talented. She's very smart. She is very kind. She got me through, like I said, that first semester, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciated her and her husband Jim for that. She has a quirky sense of humor, which is why we got along, and well, we got along for a lot of reasons, but the quirky sense of humor definitely helps. She's very forthright. You always know where you stand with her, which is a good quality to have, but she's also a wonderful pastor, very compassionate, and she is now living, as I said, in Eau Claire. She will talk a little bit about that, the interesting path that led her to be a Midwesterner, because she grew up in the Pacific Northwest, so never expected to live in Wisconsin, but there she is. So my friend Christine, and I'm going to stop talking about her and let her do the talking for a while now. So without further ado, here is my interview with Pastor Christine Emerson. She joined me this week from her home in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Hi, Christine. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Sarah. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. Thank you. I'm so excited to talk to you. So let's start by just tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you feel like sharing. Just, you know, okay. Tell us a little bit about who you are in your life.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I am a pastor, Lutheran pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I've been there. Oh, well, they have granted me the blessing of sabbatical, which I started a week ago.
Congratulations.
So that means that I've been there almost 7 years. In the sabbatical policy, they grant me a lovely sabbatical 3 months after 6 years. So I waited till the summer to do that. So I'm a Lutheran pastor, and I've been ordained for about 12 years, going on 12 years, pretty close. But I'm also a wife. Jim Bolter is my husband, wonderful husband of almost 24 years. Isn't that something? Ah, that's a long time.
Congratulations.
And then I have, thank you. And I have an amazing dog, Marty, and he's 9 years old. I love my pup, as you know.
I can't believe he's nine already.
He's nine, which means he's apparently in his 60s. Somehow that's supposed to be senior years for dogs.
Right. Wow.
And you know that he's currently sick, and we're trying to figure out what's wrong, and I hope he's going to be okay, but
yeah,
I hope anyway, but
okay.
Yeah. So that's that. And I am firmly in the Midwest here in Wisconsin, which of course, you know, when I went to seminary, thought I would never be in the Midwest.
Right. Because you did not grow up in the Midwest.
I did not. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest and lived in the Southwest. And thought I would never be in the Midwest. And but Jim felt called to be a university professor here, and I felt called to be a pastor here, so here we are.
Yep, and you've been there for your whole 12 years of ordination, right?
Yes, and 1 year beyond, because I was an intern pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Eau Claire here first.
That's right.
And then I only waited a series of probably about 6 months before I was ordained.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that long that I had to wait.
Right.
Probably even time. But
and
yeah.
So now that you've been there for a dozen years or so, how do you like being a Midwesterner? Has it grown on you?
It has grown on me. There are things that are quintessentially Midwest that I still go, huh. about. And then there are just I like the pace of the Midwest life.
Mm-hmm.
I like the population of the Midwest in that you know, you really can live in the for instance, if you were to live in the Twin Cities, it's the city, but it doesn't feel Seattle is a very busy city. Mm-hmm. And you know, the traffic is miserable. But the traffic is really, if it's miserable, it's because someone was stupid. And not because traffic's miserable because there are too many people out on the road.
Right.
Although someone in St. Paul might disagree with me on that, you know, that there is a rush hour.
Right,
but
they might. But and
5 minutes.
What about winter? Have you gotten used to winter?
That is the one downside. That's the one thing about being in the Midwest that that I don't appreciate. The first couple winters, I was kind of into it because it was like, ooh, this is an anomaly. It's like minus 25 degrees. That's kind of cool, but I don't want to be out in it. But I just, it's not my thing. I don't like it. But I found living here in Wisconsin that most Wisconsinites don't like it either. They basically say, well, it's winter in Wisconsin. And they love to complain about it. Well, it's winter and it's just the way it is.
Right. Yeah. When I think about winter in Wisconsin and you, I think about your first call. It may have been your first year, and you were telling me that it was, you know, it was very, very cold and you had to do a funeral. So of course you were outside where it was very cold, and didn't you trip and almost fall into the grave?
Yes. But it was one of those odd country parish kind of places, and it wasn't outside of Strum. We had to travel, and I can't remember where it was, but I think we traveled to Mondovi, which was just a little bit of a skip and a hop away. And sorry, I just used another Midwest idiom there. A skip and a hop away down the road.
That's right.
Mondovi. And it was one of those odd situations where the casket was raised enough that I could have slipped in.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the ice that was centered right there, I literally almost slipped like right in there. It was also minus 35 degrees wind chill temperature that day.
Wow.
Experience with that ever that I was having. I had like a parka on that was stupidly big, like Now I would just wear wool and just be cold for 10 minutes. But I had to take off my gloves to throw the sand because I had gloves on this thick,
right.
Like, you know, and I could not undo the sand. There's a name for it, but since seminary, I've forgotten
it as well, but I know what you mean. I'll look it up.
Well, I think a funeral director could remind me of what it is right now.
Yes.
But so I had to take my glove off, and I remember the sensation of doing ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and my hand just literally going, I think it's freezing. Literally, it was the worst sensation I can remember. However, now, after all these years, tough it up. So what?
You've become a Midwesterner. Good job. Good job.
But yeah, I remember that complaint and just the oddity of it. I mean, my first parish, whom I love and adore, I still go down there with love and see people that I really, really love and still feel like they're family. But I remember my first day at that parish where I was talking with the church secretary, and I was so new to the Midwest and also rural life, because this town was only 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 40 minutes away from Eau Claire. So Jim was commuting.
Yes.
And Emmanuel Lutheran Church, the people of Strum, they're marvelous people.
I visited you in Strum. It was a very cute little town.
It is a cute little town, village, actually. And it's like about two blocks. It's not a big village.
No.
But big enough that there were parishioners there who said that they lived in rural Strum, which was not in town.
Yeah.
And my first day when people told me that, I was like, rural Strum? Isn't this rural? Because rural, as I told you, rural life.
Right.
Would I ever live that? You know, God is surprising.
Yes, all the time. It's true. God is surprising all the time and strangely funny all the time. And I hate to interrupt this interview, but I do. I have to go to our first break. So I'm going to have our first commercial. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Pastor Christine Emerson about life in rural Strum, Wisconsin, and her first experience of hunting season. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I just want to jump right back into our interview with Pastor Christine Emerson and her experiences of being a pastor in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Before that, she was a solo pastor in Strum, Wisconsin, and she's about to talk about her first year in rural ministry.
My first day, I was sitting there talking with the church secretary, and there are these windows facing outwards. And it was deer hunting season, which was also a new thing to me, mm-hmm. being from the Pacific Northwest and a big city. And that was the processing plant right there, right outside the window. And I could see them processing deer. They were chopping the legs off. This might be horrible for some people, I'm sorry. But most people in the Midwest are like, that's just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's deer hunting. It's a holiday here.
Yeah,
it's a family thing for a lot of people, and it's pretty cool. And you know, when you hunt for your own meat, if you're going to eat meat and you hunt for it, you know, it's
yep.
sort of like as long as that's what you're hunting it for, is for meat.
Right.
I'm all for it. That's fine. But at the time it was just such a coming from Berkeley, kind of like, what?
Right.
Okay. Obviously, I need to learn what this living is like in the Midwest. And I grew to kind of admire it, you know, and just kind of be with it and learn about it and be okay. I would never do it.
Right. But yeah, it sounds very much like my hometown in Montana, you know, 1,000 people.
Please.
Same thing. So.
Please. But, you know, I eat meat. So, you know, yeah. Who am I to...
I understand. I don't think I could be a hunter, but I understand it, you know?
Yep. Well, we've kind of gone some odd places already.
Perfect. I love it. Let's talk about your sabbatical since you are into your first week of it. You've completed your first week. What are your plans for your 3 months of sabbatical?
Okay, well, my first week, I have completed my first week, but I told Almighty God that my first week was going to be doing very little, if nothing at all.
Perfect. So, you have to ease into these things.
Well, exactly. Actually, what I really just needed was a rest. So, unfortunately, my dog got very sick during this first week. So that is... You know, it's been very stressful.
Right. And your husband's not home at the moment, so you're dealing with it on your own.
He is in China doing research, the climate scientist that he is. Mm-hmm. He is doing amazing good things for God's creation to try and his big thing is to he's doing research on the perceptions of climate change in China, mm-hmm. which, you know, just about nobody he's met doesn't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
They all do. It's not a belief. It's just this is. So it's not a belief thing. Anyway, so he's gone. Marty's sick. My first week of sabbatical has turned out to be that I need to be, you know, caring for my beloved animal that God has given me to care for. Mm-hmm. So I am doing that for my first week of sabbatical. However, that has not stopped me from starting the idea of it. So the last year since I've been living with chronic illness, as you know that I do, I got Lyme disease about 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and I live with, I never got better,
yes.
even though I did the antibiotics and all that. So despite what the medical community says, people do get continue to be sick with Lyme. So about 5% of people don't ever get better with antibiotics. So mm-hmm. that is me. I live with that and have rheumatoid type symptoms as well as numerous other kinds of what you would call neurological stuff mm-hmm. that I live with. But I live with it, and the one thing that I have found that I live with it that helps me live with it best is mindfulness practice and centering prayer practices.
Okay.
And so sabbatical, I wanted to really focus on learning more about that so I could not only better my own health in learning to live with a chronic illness while also pastoring and being, you know, because, you know, the pastorate, people don't understand it a lot of times, but right. you work a lot. And
it's not just know, 1 hour on Sunday.
No, 50 hours a week, sometimes yep. more, sometimes less.
Yep.
And I, you know, to learn to take time to be with your body, with the creator who created it, with the Lord Jesus, that is, you know, and that centering spirit, which comes to us at our baptism, you know, that is really important. And I think it's important for healing, if healing can happen. I think it's where God meets us, mm-hmm. where when we are silent. And so the more that I get into that, the more that I want to also bring that to my parishioners. And that is what I'm going to be doing this summer, is kind of doing that. You've probably already seen my daily God moments that I am starting on Instagram.
Yes.
So every day, if I see... Where God is just sort of like, where I have this mindful moment of, oh, and I stop and I take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I post it on Instagram and it ends up going to Facebook. So I'm doing that as one of my very, very small, it's not a hard project. I didn't want anything to hard to do.
Right.
You know, I wasn't going to go to Germany and study German for all summer.
Right.
I have a bachelor who does that. But
that's a very different sabbatical.
Oh, I wanted rest. I wanted contemplation. I wanted centering. That's what I wanted to do. And so I'm doing that. I'm also reading some books to prepare myself for a retreat that's coming up at the Christine Center. Yes, it's named after me.
It's named after you. I love it.
It used to be a Franciscan. It wasn't a monastery. It was one of those one of those locations where Franciscan nuns lived, whatever you want to call that. And they turned it into a retreat center, and it's this beautiful location in the middle of Wisconsin, of all places, where all these amazing leaders come and do these retreats. And this woman who does what's called the worship school, or wisdom school, rather, wisdom school, and it's based on the Benedictine Ordo of work, prayer, contemplation. And she has this wonderful book called Centering Prayer and Inner Awakening.
Okay.
She also has one on mysticism, and that one's coming in the mail.
Okay, and what's her name? I can't quite read it on the...
I hope I can pronounce it. Cynthia Borgol is what I would call, except it's spelled Borgalt.
Right, okay.
Pretty sure it's French. I don't know what the Americanized version would be.
Right.
But she is in Illinois, actually, and she has created this whole, what she calls the Wisdom School, and it centers around this whole mysticism and centering prayer as a practice for the now, for the modern life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a two-part retreat. I'm going to go to part A, and if I like it, I'll go to part B. but I think I will. I think I'll like it. And the Christine Center is bringing her for 4 nights, 5 days. And mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing that at the end of June. I'm also doing a mindfulness continuing education course through actually the Greater Good Cal Berkeley, the Greater Good Science Center, which comes out of Cal Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
Through them. I mean, I'm doing it through them, but it is a 7-week course that of mindfulness practices that I'm going to be doing.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Summer. That starts next week. But it's, you know, it's basically a session a week,
mm-hmm.
and it's that go at your own pace.
Right. So you're doing it online?
Yeah. So I can watch it whenever I want. I don't have to. It's just sometime that week I have to watch it and then do the journal practices and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty, it's leisurely.
It sounds like you should have a restful summer.
Yes.
And so, okay, you got a bracelet that Jim gave you before he left, and it is, tell us about the bracelet.
This is a Bella leaf. Yes, it was a surprise. The day that he left for China, I opened up the mail, and there was this pretty piece of jewelry that turns out to be something like a Fitbit. I don't know, a stress tracker.
Okay.
For instance, today I woke up and it said, "You did not sleep restfully last night." True, I went to bed late, and then I didn't sleep well, and then I woke up early because my dog wanted to go outside. Basically, the Bella leaf said, "You did not sleep well last night. You had a restless night of sleep. Therefore, today, you should take an hour-long nap."
Oh, it's a very bossy bracelet.
It recommends these things, but I don't always do them. And then, but the what I like about it is that if you, along the course of the day, if you do a certain amount of activity, you know, like if you go for a 20-minute walk, or if you meditate, your stress percentage goes down. So it sort of just kind of keeps track of your stress level throughout the day. It also knows the difference between REM and deep sleep. So you can see how much REM you had and how much deep sleep. And,
okay.
There was the solid orange line that showed that I was awake for an hour and a half last. I mean, I live with chronic disease, so I do have some insomnia problems. But I don't always sleep poorly. I just did last
just last night. You were just so excited to talk to me today.
Yes.
Okay, that was my narcissistic moment of the podcast. Talk to me about faith in your everyday life. How do you incorporate it?
Besides opening up scripture, centering prayer and being in prayer, I just try to be aware of God in everything. I mean, it's when you, but not that I'm great at it. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a walk that we do, and it's always a journey. I think two things I've learned living with chronic disease is that, one, you doubt God, and two, you need God.
Mm-hmm.
You doubt God because suffering is, but you need God because your suffering is.
Right.
They are compatible, and they are necessary to feed on each other.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the lives of my people. When you suffer in your own life, there is a mercy and a blessing in that suffering, because you can be with people better
mm-hmm.
when they mm-hmm. are. And I think to sort of relieve yourself of the question of why do people suffer, you know, I've gotten to a point where I feel like that's just a waste of question.
Okay.
Because not that I don't ask it, and not that there aren't days when I'm like, why do I have to do this? You know, I can't believe I'd say that, but the Buddha, and I'm very much centered in the Christian way in life, but the Buddha mm-hmm. would also agree that being with your suffering is leads to good things. I mean, mm-hmm. can lead to good things. And mm-hmm. I'm not approving of suffering. I don't admire it. I don't want it. And I don't think that I should say people should suffer. But I see where good can be seen from it, and how it can lead us to be closer to God and to have better relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody knows that when things are great, you know, who needs God?
Right. Right.
The questions of suffering, you know, I leave that to these great theologians, and I love to read them and everything, but I've gotten to a point where it's sort of like, I'm just tired of trying to answer that question.
Yeah.
Instead, how can we live with it?
Right.
Is what I want to answer. How can we live with it? How can we love people in suffering? How can we be with people when they suffer? And I suppose that's what makes me a pastor instead of a theologian. You know.
Okay.
I think I posted something yesterday on Facebook, which totally is right, and that is that sometimes it's better to have questions that can't be answered than to have answers to questions that can't be questioned.
Yes. Yeah.
It's better to have questions that can't be answered. The mystery of life is just that. And mm-hmm. and it can be beautiful, that mystery. And to sort of sit with the mystery, I guess that's the whole mysticism in me.
Right. I kind of wish I had talked to you a few weeks ago before all of the suffering texts that we had assigned in the lectionary during Pentecost.
Oh, yes.
Because there were a lot of them.
There were a lot of them. And yeah.
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 I kept trying to figure out what else I was going to say. It never fails. It seems like after the fact, after I, you know, talk about a subject, I always talk to someone else who gives me a much better insight than I ever had. So that's just my lot in life. It's not a lot, but it's my life. On that note, we do have to go to our second break, and then when we come back, we will be concluding our interview with Pastor Christine Emerson, so stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back one more time to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We will be concluding our interview with Pastor Christine Emerson, so let's get back to that interview. Okay, you talked a little bit about doubt in terms of suffering. Where else in your life, what makes you doubt in your life in terms of your faith, if there's anything?
Yeah, doubt. I mean, I think it's just a part of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to actually say this out loud as a pastor, I think is useful, but would never say it in the pulpit.
Okay.
There are times when I feel like I'm standing up there as a big sham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been there.
Yep.
Are you standing there going, I'm saying all this stuff that I think I believe, but I'm not sure that I believe a word of it today.
Right. Yep.
That's the whole point of faith, is that, it's sort of like sometimes we take this leap on this fantastical story that is some days you're like, what? This doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Why do I believe this? But then we do, because we just can't not.
Right.
And it's just, that's just the way it is. It's like, and it's a daily thing, I think a daily dose of doubt is a part of the life of faith, and I think it's a good thing.
And it's a good alliteration. I like it.
Daily dose of doubt.
Daily dose of doubt. So then conversely, where do you find hope?
Hope, scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I often go there when I need that.
Mm-hmm.
I find hope whenever I rest in prayer. I find hope in people and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause for me, I'm a very relational person,
mm-hmm.
More so than a fact-driven person. Not that I don't like facts and use them.
Right.
Not that I'm not a rational person, which I am, but like you were saying at Facebook, I think I'm going to be irrational today.
Yeah, I was having that day yesterday.
But I mean, I am a very rational person, and sometimes too much.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I were less rational sometimes. I think, mm-hmm. I think where a lot of the doubt comes. I see, mm-hmm. a lot of hope in that relational aspect of God, and that relational being with people and seeing hope in that.
Okay. You mentioned scripture. So tell me, do you have favorite Bible passages that you go to more often than others?
Isaiah 43, 1-7.
Okay.
Just that, the imagery in that reading. I know it's used a lot for funerals.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, who doesn't love it? I mean, the waters won't touch you, you won't burn, you won't, I will go to the depths, the heights to find my sons and daughters and bring them from far away. Nothing will touch you. I, mm-hmm. love you. It's one of the few places in scripture where God actually says out loud, because I love you. Agape love is everywhere in the New Testament, but to actually see it in scripture in the Old Testament, just that one time, says a lot about that particular love that God has for God's people to do anything for them, despite how stupid they are. I go to the Gospels. I love the readings of the Magnificat. It's a go-to reading for me. I need that on days when I see so much injustice in the world and in this country and our capitalist way of life, when we raise up frivolous behaviors and call it good. The topsy-turvy kingdom of God, which raises up the poor and the lowly. You know, need to be reminded that this is a world that God loves because of, especially those who are in poverty. And that's especially where Jesus is. And for us to be reminded of that, I often go to those just to remind myself that God's world will be just eventually. That God will break in and make that come to be. So I love that, those kinds of passages. I adore the Gospel of John. About anything in the Gospel of John, I will love.
Okay. Well, and there's a lot of love in the Gospel of John.
There is. Abiding love, that is.
Yes. One thing that I appreciate about you and Jim, I mean, I appreciate a lot of things about you and Jim. You were a very big part of my seminary life, and I am grateful for you. But I love that you are a pastor and Jim is a scientist.
Yes.
This is not a combination that people sometimes think should exist in the world, you know, and yet here you are in relationship, in marriage, in life. He is a person of faith, and you are a person not necessarily to the level that Jim is of science. So talk a little bit about this relationship of faith and science. And
yes,
you know,
well, you know, what's fascinating is that we had the March for Science here, which Jim put together for the Eau Claire group. He and a couple other people made that happen. We had about 400 people for the little town of Eau Claire.
That's awesome.
And, there were like 5 clergy there. So what I find fascinating is some of this is interestingly cultural, because I grew up in the Pacific Northwest where science and religion, you know, especially in California, when we were in seminary, I would have my clergy collar on and his scientific friends would look at us, look at me like I had 2 heads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They could not. It was sort of like mind blowing, but here in the West, it's not that weird. It's probably weird for some, but for instance, my parish, there are 2 professors, 3, if you include Jim, science professors from the university that go to St. John's. 4. They're a married couple. Need to include him as well. I'm thinking of Jenny and Bart. And then we have Rob, who's political science. And then we've got, well, of course, that's not science. But it's not.
Hey, it says science in the title. Let's just go with it.
Yes, and university professor in psychology. And it's just not as odd in the Midwest. Sure, the questions are there, and sure, there are fundamentalists that live here. But for the most part, there are a lot of moderate Lutherans and Catholics here that don't seem to have as many odd problems with science, per se, as well as evolution and those things being compatible, because they are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't need to know, you know, the questions of how. That's great. Science does a great job of that. The questions of why, you know, Jim's like, I want to leave that to you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, how I want to do. Why you want to do. It's sort of like we're how and why in the house.
There you go.
Now, I know that there are a lot of scientists that think that they can answer why. But Jim's like, that's not what scientists do. They don't. These Richard Dawkins, it's not their role to explain why. That's a philosophy when you start adding that stuff to science. Just because evolution says something that doesn't necessarily mean that religion is or that God doesn't exist. Just because science says these facts, God is still a question, still a why. But that conversation doesn't happen a lot here, strangely. It is very much so in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
I know that growing up, it was just an odd thing to be a faithful Christian and also believe in science as a, you know, an evolution, right. Even evolution, right. Which is not a belief. It just is like climate right. change, like the ozone. That's,
I think some people think of religion and science as mutually exclusive sometimes, and they are not.
No, I you know, I was recently on Netflix and I saw that thing about the Genesis. Was Genesis real? And I don't know. It's like this trending thing on Netflix. I almost like clicked on it last night to watch it, but then I was like, come on, why are we even having this conversation? Why do we need to try and prove Genesis as being literal or myth? I'm like, right. Does it need to be literal? Who are these people who need it to be literal? You know, scripture is intended not to be a history book. It is a experience of the people of God in multiple cultures and locations and time and space. And it is not a literal book.
They're trying to answer that question of why.
Yes, but it is still a very much the inspired word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very ELCA of me to say, but that's kind of where all of the Midwest ELCAers are, you know,
mm-hmm.
inspired word of God, not 7 days, literally, people.
So we are, that was my, you know, those are my list of questions. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about? Anything else you want to say? You want to wrap this up in a nice bow for me?
This has just been very enjoyable. Mostly just because it's felt like old times.
I know. I haven't seen you in forever.
No. It's this random talking on Facebook at all times, you know?
Yes. Yes.
But I'm just, it just feels like, I just feel like we're at PLTS just having a chat. Which, mm-hmm. by the way, though, I am in grief because of that whole...
The move, yeah.
From the beautiful campus to...
Yes.
The GTU location, and while as I understand that practically, again, that's that practical thing, I get that, but my heart just...
I know, I wasn't able to go to the decommissioning ceremony. I really wanted to, but it just wasn't feasible that weekend, so...
Yeah, oh,
yeah. It's hard.
It is, and I know that seminary needs to transform itself for this...
Mm-hmm.
For this church that is exciting and visioning the future that is not what it used to be.
Yep.
But Christ is in it and the Holy Spirit will move the church to where it's going to be. Wherever mm-hmm. that's going to be, it will be still the church. And
right.
But seminaries need to change, I suppose, like the rest of the church does.
Yep.
And that's...
But we're Lutheran, and sometimes change is hard. Sometimes we resist it.
It's practically a four-letter word.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time, especially taking the time out of your sabbatical. I hope that you have a blessed and restful sabbatical the rest of your time, your 3 months. And
Thank you. Well, this is week two. And as I told you, I could barely remember what day it was when I woke up. So I must be on sabbatical.
You must be doing something right.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much again for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking me, Sarah.
You're welcome. Thank you once again to Pastor Christine Emerson for joining me this week for my Friends on Faith on Friday segment. It was so nice to catch up with her and chat with her. I haven't seen her in much too long, so to at least be able to see her on Skype was a blessing for my week, especially as it's been a bit of a crazy week, as you know. So I am grateful to her, and I would like to invite you to keep her in her prayers as she has some hard decisions to make about her beloved dog, Marty. He's been diagnosed with some pretty nasty stuff, so please keep them in your prayers as she makes that decision and moves forward with it. I know she will appreciate that. And I appreciate your prayers as well. So thank you for joining me. Thank you to Pastor Christine Emerson for joining me. I hope you will join me again on Sunday when we begin a new week, and we'll see how the week goes in terms of scheduling and how that episode is going to look. Thank you for bearing with me these past couple of weeks as I have kind of transitioned into a different way of doing the podcast, probably briefly, but not sure. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download them on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and all of the apps that you use for your podcast on a mobile device. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, etc. GSMC Bible Study. Come and leave your comments, leave your prayer requests, whatever it is that you have going on in your life. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for joining me. Please join me again as we look at next week's lectionary texts. That will be on Sunday. In the meantime, go out into the world and remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.